Things Like Burgers by Ruth Wheeler. Read by Debbie Chazen. Chapter 1. What am I doing? What am I doing? These were four words Tom Bowler often found himself asking. In this instance, he was hopping from foot to foot, arms wrapped around himself in a bid to shield himself against the cool autumnal air. It was dark, it was late, and his favourite programme was on the television. Yet here he was, shivering in the bitter cold, in the middle of an open, overgrown rapeseed field. He flapped his arms around his torso, the sleeves of his jacket barely reaching his wrists, his face contorted against a sudden blast of wind. Tom pulled back his left shirt sleeve to reveal his watch. It was 10 o'clock exactly. An abrupt noise, like a thousand hands producing one short, loud clap in unison, startled him, and he looked up. Tom's heart felt like it had jumped up to take a better view from his throat cavity, as there, in the field, right in front of him, loomed an immense spacecraft. Wanted, the advertisement on the job vacancy board had said. Enthusiastic, bright, young individual to work in the catering industry at a local service station. No experience necessary, as full training will be given. Good rates of pay. It looked promising. Local was good. Every other vacancy he had perused that day had been either too far for him to travel, not yet having his own car after recently finishing school, or they had required experience. How was he supposed to gain experience if no one would give him a chance to get any? He made a note of the details and made his way to the waiting area at the other end of the room. The year was 1996, and Tom Bowler had finished high school at 18 years old with 4 A-levels. He had decided to defer university after 13 years of education, much to his parents' disapproval. His parents had strongly advised Tom that if he was going to switch off his brain, he should get paid to do it, however mundane the job may be. He suspected that they were hoping he'd soon get bored of earning minimum wage and be in more of a hurry to get back into the education system. Maybe he would, maybe he wouldn't, but as Tom waited, his right leg twitching nervously as he sat leant forward in the blue material-covered chair, the thought of earning some money brought a smile to his face.
Next, called a nasal female voice from behind one of the row desks.
Tom looked around and realised that it was his turn. He walked over to the desk, sat down, and handed his job slip to a bored-looking middle-aged woman with short, dyed blonde hair and rounded glasses. Without even turning from her computer terminal to look at him, she took the slip from his hand, eyes affixed on the screen.
Name?
She took his details, her nasal voice punctuating each question with an exaggerated rising intonation, which irritated Tom almost as much as the fact that she didn't turn to look at him once. The woman hastily tapped in a succession of digits and read off the screen autonomously.
Right, Mr. Bowler. Interviews for this position will be taking place this evening. Would you like me to call the director for you right now to arrange one for you?
She was still looking at her monitor, seemingly clicking and scrolling down the screen with her mouse.
Yes, please, if you don't mind, stammered the ever-polite Tom, a little unsure at the suddenness of the progression. Could you call them for me?
Tom watched as she lifted her phone from its cradle and her nimble fingers danced over the keypad. He thought that the number seemed to be an awfully long one for an apparently local number.
Hello, Mr. John, came her nasal tone. This is Veronica Hughes from the Job Centre. I have a Mr. Tom Bowler here who's interested in the position you've advertised here with us. I understand that you're conducting interviews this evening.
There was a pause while the person on the other end spoke. Finally, she turned to face Tom.
You're in luck. Mr. John can see you at 10 p.m. this evening. How does that sound?
Veronica asked, apparently unfazed by not only the rather strange moniker of the company's director, but by the extraordinarily unorthodox time of the interview. Tom assumed she was on autopilot and wouldn't have noticed if he'd walked in there with three heads.
Yes, that's fine. Yes, Mr. John, that time is suitable for the candidate. Do let us know how he gets on.
She coolly replaced the handset.
10 p.m. it is then, Mr. Bowler.
Veronica smiled a forced congratulatory smile at him.
Where do I have to go?
A laser printer by the window behind her hummed into life as the words came out of his mouth, and she walked over to it and came back promptly with a sheet of paper which she handed to him.
Here are the details. Good luck.
Veronica had already sat down, and her eyes were once again glued to her monitor.
Next.